Let's go.
Marissa.
Hello.
Did you take that pre-workout I told you?
Not a pre-workout, but I don't know. A little energy shot for sure. So I could be up and at it today for you.
I appreciate it. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. As I told you earlier, it's kind of just started to pick things up because of COVID and everything. And it just feels good, like you said, just to be out and just, you know, see people.
It just feels good to interact for sure.
Yeah.
100%.
And, you know, thank you for driving over here, even though it wasn't too far. But I know, you know, just coming out here.
No, I appreciate the invite. It's going to be exciting.
You know, I have nothing but mad love for everyone at South Main and West Covina.
We appreciate that so much.
You know, you guys are family to me. You know, obviously, for those who don't know, I've had Jason Tam here, Miguel Aguilar, Chris Duarte. I feel like I'm just gonna get everyone.
Yeah, you got the self-made family. You do. You really do.
Yeah. And you know, I admire you. You know I'm a nurse, right? I love your nonprofit.
Thank you.
And you know, it's kind of weird because I almost felt like I just knew you were gonna come on. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I knew like eventually I was gonna ask you. It's just, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, like, I see Jason more and I just didn't know how to open that dialogue.
And Jason, I will say, is probably, like, my number one cheerleader. He's like, are you doing this? Are you doing that? Like,
you need
to put yourself out there more. And I was like, it'll happen when it happens, bro.
Yeah, don't rush it, man. Yeah, come on, man.
No. But I absolutely love him for that. But he's definitely probably the one that's gotten me to be out of my box a little bit, especially coming into the self-made family. He's like, you gotta go out there. Stop being a little scared cat.
Uh-huh. Have you naturally been like an introvert, or would you consider yourself introvert?
No,
or?
But I've always been more of like a cheerleader. Like I'm all about helping others and putting other people on and being more of like the behind the scenes support person. I love making things happen. Mm-hmm. But I think when it actually comes to my own projects or my business, it's hard for me to like, hey, look at me. You know, I'd rather say, hey, look at my nonprofit. Look at our gym that we've created. Look at our team.
Yeah.
So on the other hand, that's when I'm like, all right, but I do need to be out there. I do need to put myself out more. So.
Well, see, this is why this podcast exists, because what we like to do here, what I like to do is my goal is to magnify you. We want to get to know who you are and what you're about and how you actually became who you are.
Thank you.
Right. And to magnify and, you know, spread your message. Right. And that's why I like to bring people, remarkable people such as yourself, because, again, I feel like there are people out there who need a voice.
You 100%.
Know what I mean? So let's get to know you a little bit. Let's start off with like where you're from, and let's, you know, go embark on your journey, how you became, you know, got into the fitness space, how you started your nonprofit and all that good stuff.
All right. So I would say from Chino, California. That's where I grew up most of my life, elementary to high school, cheered and track. Always kind of been in kind of a healthy space. I love cheer. I love just being active. After that, I did some all-star competitive cheerleading with an all-girls squad for about 2 years after high school. I want to say 20 years old is when I started going to an actual boot camp in Chino. And low-key, I was like, dude, how do I get this job? You know, like, because I just loved being there. Mm-hmm. I loved the atmosphere. I loved the people that I got to meet. And the owner one day, it was so weird. He was like, hey, Marissa, have you ever thought about doing this? And I was all, thank you, Jesus.
And I was like, I've been waiting for you to ask me.
I was like, actually. And then so honestly, I'm super blessed in the fact that I was able to start running a nighttime boot camp. Pretty much that was my rent. That's how I paid rent.
Yeah.
So I did 6, 7, and 8 o'clock. And then anybody that I brought in was kind of like my own take home money.
Nice.
So that was like my first sense of like entrepreneurship, where I'm like, hey, like I'm good at this. Mm-hmm. I'm good at getting people together. They clearly like me because my classes are filling up. Mm-hmm. And it just went from there. And I want to say I was there for 3 years. And then from there,
this is a private boot camp too?
Private boot camp.
Okay, it wasn't like a big, like, I don't know.
No, it was this family owned boot camp.
Nice.
And yeah. And like I said, I was still in Chino. And then I realized boot camp was kind of limited. And then I ended up going to a private studio in Rancho. And that's where I kind of figured out like the value of my time.
Mm-hmm.
More one-on-one training. You can charge a little bit more. The quality of your client is a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So that went, I was there for, I want to say, 5 years. And that's actually where I met Jason.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Jason worked alongside each other for 5+ years. Working 40-hour weeks, taking naps in the back and being like, hey, your client's here. Like, hurry up, wake up.
Wow.
Yeah, no, for sure. So that's where we know what it's like to be a trainer that's grinding in all day, you yeah. know, on the floor, which it's fun, but you also get real tired too. Like,
yeah.
you know, working 6 to 12, try to get a workout in and then go back to like 2 to 8,
mm-hmm.
you know, so those yeah. split shifts, but you love it. You love the people that you interact with,
yeah.
which is amazing. And then towards the end of that is I started doing walks for Autism Speaks and Susan G. Komen. So I just started using my voice and the people that I was with to get people together.
Yeah.
And try to raise funds for whatever good deed was going on. Like April was autism awareness. And then obviously October turned into breast cancer. And which then led into kind of my personal event, which was Climb for a Cure.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that started was because my mom's really good friend, she has stage 4 metastatic breast cancer.
Okay.
And I remember going to lunch with her and telling her how excited I was to do a Susan G. Komen walk. And I was raising money. And she kind of just had a come to Jesus moment with me. She's like, I love your enthusiasm. I love that you're excited. But do you really know where those funds are going?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh.
You know, like, this is your mom, right?
No, this is my mom's friend.
Oh, your mom's friend.
My
okay,
mom's
okay, okay,
friend
okay.
who has metastatic breast cancer.
Okay, okay.
And so I was kind of like, no, like enlighten me. You know, and that's the thing. It's we all think we're doing a good cause. We all think we're raising money for something. But do you really know what you're raising your money for? Do you really know
where's it going?
Where it's actually going?
Mm-hmm.
And so we just had a conversation, and this was 6 years ago now. And my gung-ho self was like, well, then I'll make my own event. Like mm-hmm. if you don't like where that money's going, you're the reason why I'm doing this. Like, let's just make our own event.
Yeah.
And she was like, all right. But it's so funny because even to this day, she'll be like, all right, Marissa, you and your little dream, you know, like kind of like, we'll see how far this goes. And we just started planning, and that's where Climb for a Cure was born. And we started in Altadena, and we did a super intense hike for so learned for an event that you can't make it too hard.
Yeah,
you know, I'm
it's like you're trying to make awareness for this, but I might get this.
Yeah, during... you're like no, and it's like okay, you want more people out there, you got to ease up the trail. You know, make yeah. it more family friendly. Not everyone's an avid hiker or wants to be out of breath at the end of
it. Like, yeah, I'm trying to raise funds, but you got to join the Spartan race.
Exactly. I was like, you didn't train before this? Come on.
Yeah.
No. So, you know, you learn a little bit. But yeah, I remember my first event had 50 people show up and I raised $4,200. So that was year one. I literally just had a little 6-foot table, a banner. We handed out some medals at the top of the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And then every year it just grew. The second year we raised $9,000.
Wow.
The third year was $15,000. The fourth year was $16,000. And then last year was $20,000.
It keeps going up.
And it just keeps going up. And so finally, last year was the year that I was like, dude, we're growing. Like, we need to make it official. We need to make it legit. And so that's when I created the Make Good Moves.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing off of my own personal training business, which is Make Moves. Because that's where I really feel I'm transitioning in the fitness space. Like,
yeah.
yes, I will always be a trainer first, and I love being on the training floor and helping clients. But long term, I feel like my nonprofit is really my end game. And then even nice. Now, what I do at Self Made West Covina is I'm training like the new generation of trainers.
Yeah.
So really helping trainers just build their business, getting a lot of these green trainers that have never been able to run their own business, be confident in selling, retaining.
Yeah.
You know, I won't teach you how to train your client, but I can teach you how to run your business
yeah.
behind keeping your clients.
Yeah. I was going to ask, like, yeah, how did you mesh? It seems like you kind of transition or mesh those two together, right? You have your personal training business, the mentorship
mm-hmm.
of these trainers, and then you have this nonprofit. And it almost seems like it kind of like meshes together because it's yeah. it is lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's still main, you know, health maintenance and things like that.
Yeah.
How have you been able to kind of leverage, you know, your expertise into this nonprofit?
You know what? I will say it, like you said, it's a life. My slogan's been Make Moves. It's a lifestyle. And that yeah. has literally never changed my whole business.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like, what do you make moves in? You make moves in health. You make moves in business. You make moves in the people that you impact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just always kind of been my motto.
Yeah.
And so when Make Good Moves, it's like, that just fit.
Yeah.
It was like, because we should all be doing good for somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
So I just, yeah, it's crazy, but I think it's also when it's genuine, it really does just mesh well, or just flows into whatever's next, you know?
Yeah.
I never thought I was going to love the mentorship aspect, but I love sitting with the trainers. I love picking their brains and challenging them, like, well, what does your price sheet look like? Or why are you charging so low? Like, do you realize you're at a, like a prime facility? And, you know, just talking them up and letting them know their value.
Yeah.
I think they're scared when they're new. They're like, but no one's going to trust me. I'm like,
yeah.
So I don't know, just pepping them up. Everything has just really meshed really well in the past year.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, so it's crazy because that slogan, make moves, right? It's almost like when I read that or I say that to myself, it's like, get up. Mm-hmm. And make moves, right, as far as health. But then also it's kind of like what you said, you make moves for other people too. And you just said, like, you know, growing up, you've always been that person to highlight, you know, this business or this movement or and nothing with you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it's, I don't know, it's like very universal, the slogan. Yeah. It's kind of clever.
Yeah, and I feel like everyone can relate to it. You know, like whatever part in life you are, like some people just, like you want to say, they want to move. They just want to get off the couch and that's a victory in itself.
Yeah.
You know, some people that are hardcore and they're like, this is my next level of fitness. Some people are just starting to be an entrepreneur and they don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
So I really feel because I haven't changed my brand or my logo in 9 years, I feel like, all right, this is genuine to me. Like, it's just evolved with what I've done.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really, really love that.
That's awesome. Well, obviously, you partnered up with one of the best leaders I know, right? And now you're like a mentor of some remarkable and amazing individuals, right? These people who are trying to help others, who are trying to grow their business. What are some leadership qualities that you feel are so important with, you know, these personal trainers who are trying to grow their business?
I would say you have to be coachable. You have to be
willing to learn.
Willing to learn. One thing we always say is check your ego at the door. You know, we have a lot of influential people that we see every day, and you know that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're just a human being. So don't try to be more or great or put anybody down. Like, we're all in health and wellness because we love it. And I think being a good leader is just being able to know when you're wrong, admit when you're when you've made a mistake.
Take accountability.
Take accountability 100%. And I think that's also why me and Jason work so well together at West Covina, is because we can check each other. You know, and it's not, there's no like ill will or like, oh, I can't believe you too. No, it's just like, hey, man, you didn't do this. Hey, Marissa, you forgot to do this. And it's like, oh, okay, I did. Okay. But it's like you move on to the next.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times when people are told that they did something wrong, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm not good enough now. Or what's my next step? It's like, no, just admit that you did something, you know, move on, move on.
You know, you have, and I feel like one thing you just highlight is respect. Right. And you oversee a pretty big team, right? You, how many trainers do you guys have over there now? Oh, I feel like it keeps growing.
You know what? Thank God it keeps growing, because of everything that's going on right now. We still have a solid 40 plus trainers on our team.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yes.
So to run a team like that, I mean, how is that? Like, what type of, what does that responsibility look like? And how do you earn that respect from those people? Right. Because I know you're huge on mentorship.
Yeah, I know
you are. Yeah. So am I. So, you know, being in that role, like, how do you gain respect? And the reason why I ask, because I feel a lot of people out there have that issue of gaining respect, whether they're running their own business, whether that's with family, whether that's with their relationship.
Yeah. I would honestly, at the end of the day, is staying true to your core beliefs.
I love
that. You know, a lot of people feel that in order to, especially in this day and age, it's like, who's following you on Instagram? How many likes? Like, you are not defined by how many likes are on your photo, you know? And I get the whole purpose of that is your advertisement, that is your business, but it doesn't mean that that's who you are.
Yeah.
And I think
there's more to you, right?
There's more to you than what your Instagram profile is. And thank God for Instagram, because it's such a great business tool. But I think sometimes people lose themselves in trying to be likable by everybody.
Yeah.
And you're not the person for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think once you know that some people will like you, some people might not. But if people respect you, then they're at least going to listen to you when you talk.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that was actually one of the things I said the other day. Like, would you rather be liked or trusted? I'd rather be trusted. I mean, obviously you want likability, but trust, being trusted, you follow on your word. If I say I'm going to do something, they know I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You might not like what I said, but you know I'm going to follow through.
I feel like the likability will be eventually will lead to a byproduct of being trustworthy,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, another thing too that I think a lot of people are overlooking right now is partnerships, right? And whatever it may be, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's a business, you and Jason have made it so, like, you guys mesh so well. What are some things people can do to, you know, if they need to get into a partnership? What is the ideal, like, fit to be in a part, to be a partner?
I will say you can't have too many chiefs.
Okay.
You know, like, I will...
there needs to be some sort of, like, a hierarchy structure of some kind? Okay.
I think anyone who knows me and Jason and when we work together, it's Jason has all the visions.
Yeah.
He is, like, the vision master. But I'm kind of like... I kind of tone it down and I let them know what's realistic.
Yeah.
So you need that person who's going to carry out, going to get the full on content team, going to take your team to LA.
Yeah.
But then you also need the person who's going to execute those ideas.
Yeah.
So it's good where we balance that out, or there's no good cop, bad cop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think partners always have to be on the same page.
Yeah.
I know if one of our trainers come to us, we're going to say the exact same thing.
Okay.
You know, there's no like, well, Marissa said, and that's happened before. And then we're like, you guys know we talk like every day.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You know, like, so.
It's like, this ain't no secret, y'all.
Yeah, like, if you're asking me something and then you're going to relate that over, more than likely we're going to say the same thing just in a different tone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But in any partnership, it just goes back to trust. Mm-hmm. But I think before that is, since we worked with each other for 5-6 years,
mm-hmm.
we know what it's like to be a trainer. We know what it's like to grind day in and day out and mm-hmm. also not have the support that we wanted.
Yeah.
So I think just knowing that, that's how we're so relatable to our team.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how many actual franchise owners are actually on the floor every day with their team.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And with the leads, it's a lot of times people are like, what, you're just like a glorified manager. I'm like, yeah, I guess you can say that. But at the same time, it's, like, we're in the trenches with these guys. We're holding meetings. We're helping them with their business. Like,
you have way more responsibility. It's not
But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Some people are like, oh, okay, you're in the front lines, but
they don't see. They don't see
everything behind it. But that's one thing that I think even you, not even working at our facility, you know, when you enter Self-Made West Covina, it's a family.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying hello to each other. And that was one thing we told our family, our Self-Made family is, no matter what, if that's your client, that's not your client over there, you say hello.
Yeah.
You know, like, you welcome them. Do you need water? Do you need anything? I got you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the type of person, like, if I go on vacation, I know, I'm like, hey, Jason, can you cover 3 of my clients for me so I can go?
Yeah.
I know without a question, he'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not like that animosity of like, oh, you're going to steal my client.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah, yeah. And I think with the fitness space, people get so scared of losing business.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you're not the same fit for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, some people might like you, some people may not, but that one client can be replaced by 100 other people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not that's not your whole business, right?
Yeah.
One person's not your whole business.
One person's not your own business, but I think people get really sensitive.
Yeah.
And I get being sensitive and I get having, you know, like, it's not always going to be the best day, but realize that and let it go.
Yeah.
Because if you hold on to those grudges, like,
mm-hmm.
it's no way to run a business.
Dude, there's no question that, especially in the fitness industry, right, there's a lot of dramas, a lot of conflict. Yeah. How have you guys been able to avoid that? I mean, I know there's that family or, you know, that family lifestyle and that culture that you guys instilled. But how have you guys been able to avoid that? Because we're talking like a lot of alphas coming in, people thinking they know more than the other person.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, stealing clients. How have you guys been able to avoid it?
I feel honestly it's communication from day one.
Okay.
Like when we onboarded all our trainers, we told them what we expected. We told them what the non-negotiables were.
Mm-hmm.
So if we tell you ahead of time, there's no reason why it should happen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing that we said was a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
You don't poach other people's clients and you respect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we encourage everyone to work out with each other.
Yeah.
Get to know your team, cross promote, because that's the only way.
Collaboration,
you know, like that's the only way we all grow. If you stay in your little bubble,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's honestly why I remember when Jason was like, I'm going to be Self-Made. You want to be my lead? And I was like, why are you going to Self-Made? Like, I didn't get it. You know, I'm like, we're doing fine. Business was good. We were successful personal trainers at the at the studio that we were at.
Was that still the boot camp, or that was the...
This was the one in Rancho.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, so this was a private studio. This is like, all right, we're making decent money. Mm-hmm. Can't complain. But it wasn't any more growth.
Mm-hmm. What type of fitness? Because there's always different types of fitness trends. And like, you know, there's like, I don't know, like more of like performance. And then there's like weightlifting.
This place was more of a small private studio. It was just a team of five.
Okay.
And we had more of like the CEOs, the business owners.
Okay.
You know, real estate clientele. It was literally more lifestyle training.
Okay.
You know, strength training, nothing crazy like powerlifting.
Were you guys in like an industrial area? It sounds like, because of all those type of clients you just mentioned.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. We were like, yeah, right across the street from a cafe and like a tax place. So it was like a little, it wasn't a hole in the wall because you could see us from the street.
Yeah.
But just the type of clientele, like I love seniors. I had seniors, I had stay-at-home moms, you know, those are my go-to. I love those.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we went from that environment to a self-made environment, which was a complete 360 for sure. Like, yeah.
What were your thoughts when he brought it to you?
Like, I was like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I just didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Because like I said,
it was new, right?
It was new, and I never thought I wanted to manage a team.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, I was never presented the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So then he made me go to a meeting, and I kind of just, that's when he was trying to find his location, and I kind of just stepped back and was watching the meeting. And then in that meeting, he's like, yeah, you know, Marissa back there, and then she's probably going to be our lead trainer. I was all,
he put you on the spot and just called you out.
I was
and just
also, I'm committed. But at that time, I hadn't told the owner of the facility of the studio that I was at. Like, it was kind of a quick process. And then I remember just feeling guilty, because I was like, okay, now I gotta break up with this person. But you know, it's like, yeah, you're breaking up.
Yeah.
And so I remember going, and like I couldn't sleep for like 2 weeks, you know.
Really?
And she knew Jason, like, and you know, it's just one of those things where I had to have the conversation where it's like, is nothing bad about where I'm at. It's just for me to grow, for me, for my next step, to grow my nonprofit, to be in front of more eyes, like,
yeah,
I have to get out of Rancho.
Yeah.
You know, I took over Chino. I'm known in Chino. I'm known in Rancho. Now it's like, okay, what's next?
You're like, let your girl grow. Come on,
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and honestly, and it's one of those things, like, you really can't get mad at somebody for just wanting to grow.
Yeah.
And, you know, I gave enough notice. I gave, like, a month notice to, like, do a transition. But it's one of those things, like, I honestly feel like if you're scared to do something, that means you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
100%.
I know you guys encourage growth.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
if they're not evolving and want to, I don't know, lift their wings,
yeah,
I guess you
for
could
sure.
say, right? Then you're not, that's not the type of leaders you want to be under.
No, right? Yeah, no. And I think we always tell our team, like, we are just your platform.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, we are here to, like, just help you grow. To, if you want to own your own business, if you want to start your own athletic where,
mm-hmm,
or you know, like, this is the place where you're just supposed to connect and meet those new people to make it happen. Like,
yeah,
you're three people away from a deal.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm, so just keep networking. It's you have to get out of those comfort zones in order to grow. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I realized that until this past year, because seeing all the stuff that, seeing how great West Covina blew up, I would have been super upset if I would have been like on the sidelines,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
Somebody else. I was like,
damn, that could have been me or something, right?
So I'm super thankful that I got that little push, and I didn't know what I don't know what I was doing, but I followed my gut.
But isn't it crazy how none of us know what we're doing? Right.
Mm-mm.
But then like that holds a lot of people back.
Yeah.
Right.
For
I'm sure you have trainers and people on your team, like, they don't know what they're doing, and that's what's, it's almost like this self-limiting belief.
100%.
You know what I mean? What do you guys encourage, or what are some tips to help people get over those self-limiting beliefs?
I really think you gotta just be okay to fail.
Mm-hmm.
The quicker you fail, the quicker you succeed is how I feel, because we've all failed. I've been broke. We've messed up. You know, like, I've had problems with clients. I mean, but now I know how to handle those problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you never had a client yell at you, you're not going to know how to coach somebody, like, how to be professional in that situation.
Yeah.
Or if you've never been broke, you're not going to know how to teach somebody. Well, I really feel like you can't teach hustle and heart, but you're not going to know how to bring somebody out of that place and show them how to better themselves if you've never been there, you know? So I think it's really just learning from your own examples and telling people like, hey, we all have fucked up before.
Yeah.
We've all done it.
Yeah. We're all fuck ups.
We really are. No, but if you think about it, we really are. And that's what's so genuine. It's like literally every successful person I know has failed countless times.
Yeah.
And that just knows like, hey, I'm probably going to fail at least 5 more times. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to fall. But as long as you keep getting up, you're definitely going to be okay. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think what people don't realize too, the more times you fail, what's really happening, it's helping you build like this thicker skin that's only gonna serve you long term as long as you stick it out though.
Yeah,
right,
for sure.
Because again, you just like exactly what you said, you can't teach hustle and you can't teach you know, having a heart, right? And just keep moving forward, right? I want to go back again to mentorship because I think you had a post and it was something along the lines of, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna mess this up, but you wish you were the mentor
that I wish I would have, that I had.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of people have trouble trying to find that mentor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are some tips that you could, you know, tell people on how to find that mentor that they're trying to seek guidance from, they're trying to emulate and things like that?
Yeah. So me personally, like I've been doing this for, I can nearly say a decade now, which makes me feel old, but but it's crazy when I can say, oh, it's been a decade, you know? You have to go with actions. Like, what do people do behind the scenes for the people that they're coaching? Is your coach just high profile and because you're working with them, you think you're going to become high profile? Or is,
Ooh, I like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like,
true.
Or is that coach actually going to coach you and show you how to be self-sufficient?
Yeah.
You know, because you can be popular by association, but if you don't know how to build that business after, the follow-through is not going to be there.
Yeah.
You're not going to last a decade in the industry.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like everything was just like a waste of time.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. Don't waste people's time.
Yeah.
I think that's the, I wouldn't say that's the worst part, but when you find a coach and you know that they are genuinely investing in you, you want to do it. You want to do better. You want to show up. You know, it's that accountability.
Yeah.
I think everyone has a coach, everyone has a mentor just because to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done countless masterminds. I love going to different meetings. I love those weekend workshops, you know, all that personal development. And I just think it's important because if you want something, you have to be coached by somebody who's already done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
with this pandemic, how has it affected your guys' business? Has it affected your guys' business, or has it actually maybe revealed new trends that you guys are starting to tailor towards? Or
yeah, I would say honestly, this pandemic made me realize you have to adapt. And that's one thing I can say with a greener trainer is that they freaked out when this happened, you know, and which is rightfully so. Like, you just started your independent training business and, you know, you're making good money, but you're on the training floor.
Yeah.
You take that touch away from that human interaction and you freak out.
Yeah.
When this whole thing happened, we were like, okay, we have to make sure the team's okay.
Yeah.
We have to figure out what's going on, you know, do online training, all of that, you know. I turned my whole business into Zooms.
Yeah.
People are like, you train through Zoom? I'm like, I sit at my desk and I'm coaching somebody with the equipment that they have at home.
That's someone that does what it takes, by the way, for everyone that's listening.
And it's what I'd be like. I'm like, I was training people with a stool and spaghetti cans.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, girl, what do you have at home? Like, we'll do it. Because my thing was, a lot of the things that I saw with people who didn't make it out of this pandemic was they were waiting for it to be over.
They're just waiting, right?
They're like, oh, we'll resume in 2 weeks. We'll resume in 3 weeks. Oh, okay, maybe, you know, 2 more weeks. So the trainers that I saw doing that, I was like, that's not what you do. Because you have to, before this pandemic, you have to think, somebody paid you for a month full of sessions.
Yeah.
So now you still have to render those sessions.
Yeah.
So in my head, as like business and money, I'm like, okay, so I need to get paid again. Yeah. So how am I going to get paid again?
Yeah.
And it was just calling on my clients like, hey, we're going to get through this together. We all have FaceTime or Zoom and we'll see how it works. And my thing was just telling them, let's get through the sessions that you've already paid for.
Yeah.
You know, let's get you moving because we don't know when this is going to be over.
See, that's reassurance. Mm-hmm. That's calm. That's reassurance. Yeah. It's like, hey, we already did this, but this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. And I think, and that's the thing, when people are paying you for a service, I don't want to pay somebody and then be like, okay, so what do you want me to do? It's like, if I'm paying you for a service, you need to tell me.
Like, how, direct me.
Yes. Yeah, you're going to direct me how to do it. Like, the whole world was freaking out. Mm-hmm. You really think your client wants you to be freaking out on top of that? Yeah. No. And one thing I learned, though, is that all of my clients just wanted to stay on their routine.
Yeah.
During the, 3 months that we were off, I was like the only person that they were talking to outside of their 2-year-old son and their husband, you know? But it was like that Tuesday, Thursday, Friday connection. Mm-hmm. It was being able to connect with somebody. And at the end of the day, we're in the people business.
Yeah.
So as long as you are tailoring to each person as an individual, and I think that's the big thing,
yeah,
is I think some trainers don't know how to actually just be a regular person and talk to them as individuals. A good trainer is not defined on how tired you are at the end of the workout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good trainer is defined as, how did you make that client feel when they left?
Mm-hmm.
Did they feel better leaving than coming back in?
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it's a huge problem that some trainers, they almost feel like there's pressure to become this other person, when in reality they should just be themselves, right? Because that's exactly what you're trying to say, right?
Yeah, I think so. Others, or they're just trying to compete, where it's like, this is this style's person, this is a certain style of training that one person may have,
mm-hmm.
and one person might think that they need to be able to be good at boxing, powerlifting, strength training, and they try to do too much instead of sticking to their niche.
Yeah. Stick to what you're good at.
I think that's a big, I think in any business.
Yeah.
Like, if you see me talking to my stories, I'm not talking to the 20-year-old guy who's like young, trying to get a girl, you know, like I'm talking to that like 25-year-old like boss babe who just wants to do her own thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's like knowing who to market to and like just being that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the pandemic happened is people didn't know how to relate to their individual clients.
Yeah.
Because they're in the safe environment of the gym. Yeah. Like, all right, go warm up there for 10 minutes. We're going to go on this machine. Here's your circuit. When now you're at home and you're literally, it's just you and your client with no other distractions.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what do you mean, Marissa? Like, you're having people pay you for 30 minutes of your time on Zoom? Like, yeah, I keep them moving for 30 minutes. Like, yeah. 50 minutes on Zoom. I'm like, yeah. They're like, and you're charging what I charge like for in-person? I'm like, yeah. You know, it's just one of those things, like knowing the value of your time and just making solutions. Because in my head, I was like, I don't want to give back thousands of dollars of training.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because this happened.
Yeah. The clients already signed a commitment. Mm-hmm. So you have to commit to it too.
Exactly.
You have to hold your end of the bargain.
Yeah. And let them know like, hey, I got you.
Yeah.
You know, in this crazy world that we're living in, mm-hmm. I got you. You know, your health and fitness, that's what you signed up for. And I will do everything in my end to make sure that we stay committed to your schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that was just like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything's going to be okay. Because everything else was, I mean, I was probably the only consistent factor in my client's corona, you know, in the corona pandemic. Like they knew no matter what, Tuesday and Thursday, 6 a.m., I'll be there,
mm-hmm.
you know, or like in between everyone working from home, it was like their lunchtime break.
Yeah.
So
you're just like, girls, hey, even though the Rona's here, we're still getting it.
We are working because summer is still here. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
I know. So definitely, I think just a follow through. A good mentor should teach you how to run your business and not rely on them.
Yeah.
It's like what we tell our clients. I would love to have a client for their whole life, but I would rather know I trained a client for 6 months to a year, however it may be. I'd rather know that we stop training, they go into the gym, and they don't hurt themselves. They feel confident going in to the big boy area or not feeling like they're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
So just knowing that after whatever our time is done, knowing that you are going to be successful on your own,
mm-hmm.
that'll make me happy.
Yeah. Like that confidence and that being comfortable is translated, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, the Marissa a decade ago is clearly not the same person who's sitting here today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that just the type of person you are in your leadership, there was a lot of goal settings that had to take place. What are some goal setting habits that you think has helped you along the way?
Definitely deadlines.
Deadlines.
Deadlines or actual numbers. I think when I was 20, well, and I would say I learned from being 20-year-old immersed in the fitness industry. You know, I did competitions. I did NPC. I won a trophy. But I did that because that's what I thought I had to do to fit into the fitness world.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to get super shredded. I need to get a trophy. Like, this is how I'm going to be respected in this industry.
Yeah.
I respect the sport. I think anyone who goes through the commitment of getting on stage, that is amazing. But yeah. Me personally, I realized I was trying to change myself to somebody I wasn't. So I love the lifestyle of it. I can't walk around at a buck 13 every day. You know, like I wasn't happy.
See, what's your message with that? Because I feel like some people, right? You just said it, right? Like you felt like you're trying to be something that you're not, basically. But also people, I feel, look at that direction too because they want to see who possibly the other person could be.
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think if you love it, do it. But you have to want to do it for yourself.
Got it. Okay.
You know,
that's the fine line
That's the fine line. If you love it, if you love the sport and you're the reason why you're doing it, 100% do it.
Yeah.
For me, I knew I was doing it just to further my career.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I thought I needed to be a competitor in order to raise my rates, in order to get more exposure.
Yeah.
So it did its purpose for me, but at the same time, I knew I didn't want to be a competitive coach.
Yeah.
You know, I knew how I was when I was on competition prep. You know, my clients saying, I didn't have enough time to do cardio. And in my head, I'm like, well, I just did 2 rounds of cardio and I did a workout. And, you know, I didn't say that, but I saw myself being very short.
Got
like
it.
My sympathy level was like, no, you know, like, so I think it's all in for the reasons you do it. I realized I'm glad I got on stage. I'm glad I was able to see what my body could do. But I also didn't like, I like having a margarita, you know, like
preach,
I,
preach.
You know what I'm saying? Like I drink wine a couple times a week. Like it's so funny. Cause even like when me and Jason go out to our like lunch meetings, it's like, he has like his chicken and rice and I'm like, can I get the poke nachos and a sangria? And you know, but that's just who I am. Like I want to enjoy life. And I felt like for those 2.5-3 years that I was competing, it was just going to family parties and having a bag of carrots in my purse or, you know, it just, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
And so for me, I knew I loved health and wellness, but if I wanted to be able to last a decade, I wasn't going to be able to last with that lifestyle.
Yeah. I feel like you have like this acceptance or really, really high level of comfort of who you are. You know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of people struggle with that too, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just don't know who they are or they're trying to be someone else. And it's tough. It's tough, like, you know, just trying to figure out who that person is. But at the same time, you're trying to tap into discovering who that person is too, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like you said, when I say it's been a decade of me finding myself. Like,
and failing.
And failing or even being the people you surround yourself with, you know? Yeah. The relationships that you were in, your friendships that you had maybe 10 years ago, they're not, you know, your same circle now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing when people are trying to evolve and try to better themselves, they're scared of letting go of that circle of the people that aren't leveling them up or encouraging them to at least do better.
Yeah.
You know?
So true.
If you're around people who don't have their own goals, you know, or are okay with just working, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, if they're okay with how they are, but they're not trying to, you know, encourage you to do better, or if you're trying to do better and they're just putting you down, that's probably not the person that you want to hang out with.
Change your environment, change your reality, right?
100%.
And it's not to say that's bad. Like, if these people are fine with the way they are, they're at this comfort level, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
But that's not the environment you want to be around.
No, 100%. And honestly, it's you really are a product of the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, so if you are around you know, people who are opening up businesses, taking actions behind their, you can have a bunch of goals, but if you don't take any actions behind it,
yeah,
is it really going to happen?
No.
You know, so definitely giving yourself deadlines, say an attainable number, like even with the climb, I remember the year we got 16,000, I was like, I want 20,000. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen. But that was also the year transitioning into self-made where Jason was like, it's because you need more exposure. Mm-hmm. He's like, you've tapped into your market over here. Like everyone here supports you, but you need new blood to support you. You need more eyes on you.
Yeah.
And that's honestly where I was like, okay, in order to grow, you need to be around people who want you to grow. And where I was at that studio, the people around me weren't encouraging that.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, you're cool. You're making good money. Like, you're fine, girl. Like, you have your weekends off. Like, you're able to travel. And which was nice. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of trainers now, like, that is a very good spot to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is, like you said, like, if you want to level up or if you want to grow more than just what you think is good and you want great, then you got to put yourself out there.
You had a mission with your, you know, with your nonprofit.
And exactly, and honestly, I think that's how Jason knew how to like sucker me in for sure. He was like, imagine make good moves. Imagine climb for a cure, how much money you could raise. And honestly, that was really the factor that made me say, okay, I'm going to drop my business in Rancho and rebuild completely in West Covina.
Yeah. Well, I love that though, because he kind of recognized, like, he saw fit for you for self-made, but mm-hmm. he also saw fit for your mission, and he kind of put that together. And now you guys are taking off. That's like real leadership, and I'm 100%. Sure you probably do that too with your with the team you run.
Yeah,
right. It's not just about like, okay, I get it. Like, this is what you're trying to, this is what you know you're doing for us as the organization. We're, you know, what self-made's all about. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, hey, what are your goals?
Yep.
How can we help you?
Yeah, that's what number one question we ask. It's like, what's your end game?
Yeah.
You know, do you want to be a gym owner? You know, how can we help you get there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we have this conversation. If you tell me you want to be a gym owner and I don't see you working,
mm-hmm.
you best believe I'm going to be like, hey, how many clients do you have today?
Yeah.
Hey, how much are you charging?
Yeah.
Because if you're charging $25, you're not going to be able to open up a gym.
Yeah. You got a long road ahead of you.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's definitely holding people accountable to what they say they want. Because if you want something, then you need to take the proper actions to make that happen.
Yeah, 100%. For sure. Yeah. We spoke about competition,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm a firm believer that the only competition is the person in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, too, I think it's okay to be aware of the competition out there, right? Yes. Just to level up. For a woman like yourself, right? Personal trainer, clearly, you know, how there's good ones, there's bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
What separates a good female trainer from a bad female trainer?
I wouldn't say just on female. I'm going to say trainers in general.
Uh-huh.
Well,
I only bring up females because I feel like, you know what I mean? Like there's so many. So what, how does a client go to this particular female trainer, assuming like they like a female trainer compared to a male trainer?
I would say with females, it's knowing your, like, it's weird. My demographic, the girls that I get are like stay-at-home moms, seniors, and I also feel like I get really young girls who are like 18, 19, who are trying to find that self-confidence, who maybe have been in a bad relationship or have been torn down from other people.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the times, I think your right client is going to find you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Interesting.
If you want a big old booty, I'm not your trainer. I mean, I can help you get a butt, but I don't specialize in your booty.
Yeah, you know?
Like, I'm more of the trainer that's going to connect with you on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a 3-week fixer. You're not going to lose 10 pounds in 21 days with me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really working on your mental baggage in order to take off your actual weight. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to fix what's going on in your mind before that. So I think with finding your trainer is what you put out there is, I think, who you attract.
Yeah.
So there's literally a client for every trainer. Yeah. And some people are going to look at a trainer and say, that person's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody might be super likable.
Yeah.
You know, like you might not be the greatest trainer, but if you can relate to somebody and you can just treat everyone like an individual,
yeah,
you'll still go really far.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Like you're not like seeming like this person on a high pedestal. Like if you mm-hmm. could connect on that human level.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You could definitely have some more business for sure.
But then I've seen like trainers who are really well known and they're not great trainers.
And their business is not that great. Yeah.
And, or their business is great, but I've seen them train and they're horrible.
Yeah.
But it's also goes back to that. Well, if I train with this person, I'll get the exposure like this person. Yeah. So I think
it's... What are you willing to sacrifice at that point?
That's yes. crazy. It's, but it's true because I see it.
Yeah.
You know, and, but it's just however you want to approach it, I guess. And you have to just know that you're not the fit for everyone,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's good trainers and there's bad trainers, but I really don't know like what defines a bad one. Mm-hmm. You know, I just always tell them the biggest.
You're thing like, I don't know because I ain't one.
No, you know, I don't know. It's like, I just remember, I think the biggest thing when I was younger and I was training, I was the only female at the boot camp that I started at. And okay. I worked with a bunch of dudes and I was like, do not mess with my paycheck. Like I told the guys that I'm like, I'm bringing these younger girls, like my, you know, 20, 21 year olds. I'm with like other guys who are like in their mid 20s.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Don't screw this up. Yeah,
I'll go, please do not mess with my paycheck. Like, let me like, you know, it's having that conversation where this is business.
Yeah.
And don't try to be like, hey girl, what are you doing after this? Or, oh, you want to get something? Like, don't be asking my girls to go get coffee.
Yeah. Like, don't interfere. Come on now.
Exactly. I'm like, I need them to still pay my bills.
don't dip in the water. Come on.
Exactly. No. So I don't know. Like, I think trainers, that's the beautiful thing is you can run your business however you want.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to have a group of people who love you, a group of people who are like, ah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but just knowing that you're not going to please everyone. You just got to know that. You're not going to make everyone.
And you got to accept that mm-hmm. and expect it too. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. For sure.
Awesome. Let's go back to your nonprofit. What are, I feel like everyone, including myself, aspire to, you know, start a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
What are some tips on how to, you know, how you were able to do it, how you've been able to grow it and, you know, kind of where to start?
So start with an event, you know, I definitely would say we did an event 4 years in a row. And what we do is how we kind of made it work was we donated to MetaViver, which is a nonprofit on the East Coast that is strictly for the research of stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. So mm-hmm. they were the nonprofit that we were donating to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were also donating to another nonprofit called Living Beyond Breast Cancer,
okay.
which supports, has resources for men and women that are living with metastatic breast cancer.
Yeah.
So my co-founder, Leslie, she is the one who has metastatic breast cancer. So I was like, you decide where this money goes. Mm-hmm. We just need to know where it's going so that we can say genuinely, like, we know where the funds are going. We know exactly who we're helping so we can be as direct with our mission as possible.
Yeah.
So I think being as transparent as possible with your donations and why not just all breast cancer? You know, why? Yeah. You know, because that's what a lot of people do. It's just like, we donate in the month of October, breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't know that stage 4 breast cancer, the average survival rate if somebody wants to go stage 4 is anywhere from 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
So once your cancer has metastasized, from that point, you are looking at a 3 to 5 year mark.
Yeah.
So people don't know that. And that's the thing with our mission is somebody could have metastatic breast cancer and they look normal. They still have their hair.
Yeah.
But you don't know that that person goes to treatment every single Monday.
Yeah.
Every single Monday, they're either at City of Hope or another hospital, you know? So knowing your mission, knowing where your funds actually go,
mm-hmm.
start doing little fundraisers like that. And then once you start getting people who are supporting the mission and you start raising more money, then you're like, okay, we got to make this a little bit more legit.
Yeah.
Because that was one thing. I started collecting all this money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I don't want to be responsible for this.
Yeah,
you know, like it's like it needs to like go from us directly to another location. But I think it's being organized. I hired somebody.
Yeah.
You know, like I know nothing about nonprofits or how to do a 501c3. You know, hire somebody to do it correctly, because you're probably going to spend way more money if you do it yourself with all the things that you probably are going to do wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and always get your friends to support you. I mean, honestly, it all comes down with support at the end of the day.
Yeah.
If people support you, then they're going to support your mission.
Yeah.
And I think with starting any kind of event, make sure you're genuine about it. Yeah. Like, I know a lot of people who start because it seems like a good idea. But if you don't have that why behind starting it, or a real message behind starting it, that idea or that project is not going to last.
Yeah. Or some people just seem like they want to do it for the clout.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's for not sure. like genuine. It's not like they could relate to it at
all. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Because with events, like I remember last year, we were in Diamond Bar and I got a call literally the week of, and they told me something about the generator, that I wasn't going to be able to have a generator because it was outdoors and I could start a fire. And I'm like, and they told me I needed to find a generator that was not gas. I'm Googling generators. They're like $3,000. And I'm like, I'm freaking out, you know, how am I supposed to find a generator? And I'm like in the parking lot of Self-Made, like going back and forth. Everyone's like, you know? And then I like go to the side and I like have a breakdown. I was like, all right, I need to get it together. But it's like, if you don't have a why behind your clout or behind the recognition, when something goes wrong, you're not going to follow through.
And you'll probably get exposed eventually
too. Oh, for and that's with anything. That's not just with a nonprofit. I mean, if your intentions are bad, more than likely you will always get exposed.
It's eventually going to get revealed regardless, right?
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
What's I'm sure because, again, your background, the name, right? What are some things that you encourage women to do in regards to the awareness, right, as far as healthy lifestyle? Do you guys, like, encourage something, or what's the message really behind, you know, the driving factor of bringing that awareness?
For Make Good Moves?
Yes.
For Make Good, you know what? One thing with Make Good Moves is we try to tell everyone it's men and women, because men can get breast cancer too.
Yeah.
So it's really just, I think when you're healthy and you are aware of your body, you know when something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you need to make that doctor's appointment. And I think the biggest thing, especially with health and when I've talked to people, is trust your gut. And fight for that second scan. Yeah. Fight for the doctor saying, oh, no, you seem fine. No, fight for that blood work.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that they take you seriously instead of you being like, okay, we're going to do a checkup in 6 months.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people that I've heard stories of that 6 month difference
was a life changer.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people at the hospital who come into the hospital for a totally different reason. And then they just happen to do some of the workup, and then they find out they have that terminal illness or whatever it may be. And it's just, thank God that happened for whatever reason, but it's exactly right. Speak up.
Speak up
for yourself. You know your
body. No, and that's the thing. It's like, if you are healthy, you're going to know when your body is a little out of whack, you know? But I feel like the general population is so used to living in pain that they don't realize any different.
Yeah.
So until you really start feeling good, looking good, you really don't know the difference.
Yeah. And isn't that, it brings back to doing what you do, right? Because that's what happens.
Yep.
That's the result or the byproduct of what happens. You see both sides. When you feel like crap, when you feel good, you know, you start to understand your body. You start to learn what happens when you go through these changes. And then when stuff like that happens, unfortunately, you're able to maybe identify it, right?
Yeah,
and you're
able to look at your gut, right? Yeah, and I'm not saying, like, obviously everyone's going to be able to identify it, but I think the more you are in tune with your body, the more you make time for, I think at the end of the day, if you make time for yourself, even if it's 30 minutes a day, that goes a long
way. Yeah, that compounds, and you begin to understand yourself and your body.
Yeah, and just on the stress level alone, like, some people are so go, 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 which is respectable, but you're not going to be able to last like that unless you do a little self-care.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm going through that right now.
Shoot. Right? Shoot.
That's why I'm like, yo, we gotta do a podcast episode. I need to de-stress real quick.
That's your outlet, you know? And you love it.
Yeah.
You know, you have a real, you have a whole other job outside of here, but you love this. Yeah. And this is like your fuel. You know, it's finding your fuel. It's finding your passion and making other, through this, you make other people feel good. Like you said, you get to bring other people on this platform for them to share their stories. And, yeah. you know, I'm sure everyone leaves here like, that was dope, UJ, thanks. Yeah. You know?
I hope so. So one last question. So obviously your nonprofit's growing. What's your mm-hmm. target for next year? What are you looking to do as far as, yeah, your target, as far as how much money you're trying to
so
raise?
So this and year, and I'm so excited because Selfmade Headquarters has decided to partner up. So sweet. They are going to be one of our main sponsors, and our goal this year is $25,000.
Nice.
Yes. So five more thousand. I honestly think we're going to beat it. I'll be so happy if we beat it. But mm-hmm. just because we do have to go completely virtual this year. So okay. there's no, last year we had KTLA there. We had over 200 people in Diamond Bar, nice. Climb for a Cure. And it was so, like, the event was so great. But this year it's just, with everything happening, I can't get 300 people in one area. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So just knowing that everything has to be more on that virtual end, we are encouraging everyone to make good moves in your own city. Mm-hmm. So just in the month of October, people can register prior, and then we're going to ship them out a shirt and their swag so that they can promote through the month of October. Mm-hmm. So long-term goal for Make Good Moves is when you think breast cancer and you think Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Pinktober,
yeah.
I want you to think Make Good Moves is that organization that you want to donate to.
Yeah.
Because Make Good Moves is actually funding research.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 75% of our funds go to actual research.
Yeah.
So, and then
it's detail. We know where the money's going.
Yeah, we know where the money's going.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of cool because last year we partnered up with City of Hope, and we were actually able to pick which research trials that our money went to.
Nice.
So it was like
my wife used to work at City of Hope too.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And we have a few of our thrivers, which we call somebody living with metastatic breast cancer. We have a few of our thrivers who actually go to City of Hope for their treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we chose City of Hope to start donating, just so we would have something on the West Coast, because the other two organizations are East Coast. So Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, yeah, listen, I love your nonprofit and what you're doing. And I'm actually going to say this on air, that it's not going to be huge, huge contribution, but I am committing to contribute to the cause.
Thank you.
So I you know, again, undisclosed.
No, but, and honestly, I appreciate that so much. It's literally every little bit counts, and it's just awesome. The more people, like, just being on this, you know, the people that hear it, we can do a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited. So your support means a lot. Thank you.
Thank
Jay.
You. Yeah. So, we're about to end off here. Do me a favor. Where can everyone find you? And also, where can they find your nonprofit? And what's the best way to donate there? I'm going to leave that in the description and the show notes of our episode. So where
okay.
can people do that?
So you can find me at on Instagram at Marissa_Garavito. I don't have any crazy title on my I've been that for a few years now. And then my nonprofit is at Make Good Moves. So pretty simple. Both links are in both of those bios. So go awesome. Ahead and it's register.climbforacure.net, and you can just do a general donation. You can create your own team. You can nice. Join a team. Selfmade West Covina's already has their team up. And we also have swag on there too. So if people just want to buy a shirt for the cause, they're able to do that as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, guys, listen, if you guys are listening and watching this episode, please do us a favor. If you know someone that it could impact, please share it with them. Also, if you're listening and watching, please tag me and Marissa. Let us know what you think of the episode. If you guys could do me a favor on Apple Podcasts for visibility purposes, if you could leave a review and a rating, I'd greatly appreciate it. Marissa, you know what time it is. You got to sign the infamous Canvas.
Okay.
I appreciate you so much coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Oh, man, that was a lot of fun. And thank you guys so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for listening.
We're out of here.
Bye.